Continue our lessons on Sunday morning of the moral law of God as is seen from Romans 13, verse 9. And it goes back into the principles as it had to do with the relationship between man and man of what we call in the Ten Commandments. Honor father and mother, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor, thou shalt not covet. Those six commands were fundamental to the relationships between man and man, and how that man was to be a bright and shining light, not just to his nation, to his own family and friends, but also to foreign nations that did not have a knowledge of God. This is what kept the nation distinctive. It kept the nation righteous in its relationships between people, and it actually made the best kind of life possible in this life, and obviously promise of a life to come if a person lived and died in faith through the redemption that was coming in Christ. In Titus 2, verses 9 and 10 is a parallel to what you find of the command, thou shalt not steal, where it says of servants that they are to adorn the doctrine of Christ and not purloin. The King James says purloin means to rob or to steal or to take advantage of the situation. You're working for the Lord while you're working for someone else. And so there's an attitude and a disposition of action that went with serving someone in a occupational capacity. So this lesson is more along the command of thou shalt not steal. Now, there are a lot of principles that go in this. Maybe some that you've thought of, maybe some you've not. But if you go back again into the book of Exodus, chapters 21 through 24, those chapters give illustrations of the commands. Not kill, not commit adultery, not steal, not bear false witness. So I'll bring up some of those illustrations that are found in those sections, as well as obviously passages in the New Testament. For example, if I said a person who is a thief, would he be one who violates thou shalt not steal? Well, obviously that would be the case, right? Was Judas Iscariot a thief? One of the apostles a thief? He had the bag, right? And stole out of it. Was Jesus crucified between two thieves? And that's true too. Okay. Now the point being, is a person who violates this command, obviously, in the connotation of the way the world sees him or her, as it say, in a negative or a dark light? Obviously so. But do we know that at least one of those thieves will be in paradise? So the question is, if there is a violation of this principle, what does it take by which to be freed from the violation of it, or in particularly the penalty of it? And I call this respecting the sanctity of personal stewardship. Sometimes they call it your own personal property or your belongings. But everything that you and I have and are doesn't belong to us anyway. It all belongs to God. So I use the word stewardship. In the command, thou shalt not steal, it necessarily implies that what you possess, given to you by God, is rightfully yours to use. And what is it that you possess and what I possess is to be used one day to give account of. And so one is not to take advantage of someone else's stewardship by which to, as it were, gain in an unlawful way. And stealing was one of those concepts. Now, I want you to think about this particular statement, and you've probably heard this before. It says, it's a lot easier to get forgiveness than it is permission. You ever known anybody live by that quality, by that concept? In other words, Mr. Clark, you know, you've got some woods behind your house, and we killed a deer back over in the woods. We were hunting over there. We didn't ask your permission to do that. And by the way, the deer is up in your backyard right now, and we need to come over there and get it. And by the way, you're going to forgive us for not asking permission, right? Okay. And by the way, it's just a crude illustration of what could happen in certain situations. You know, the idea is if you're going to use something that belongs to someone else or be on a piece of property that belongs to someone else, what is the righteous thing to do? Okay. Can I? You know, are you asking, or may I guess would be the word. May means permission. May I do this? Well, what if they say no? Then, if you do it, you trespass. The word means to cross the line. May I? Well, no, they're a Christian. They'll be a forgiving person. Let's go ahead and do it, and if we get caught, we'll just turn around and say, you know, it's a lot easier to get forgiveness than it is permission. Live that kind of lifestyle, and where ultimately is this relationship between these two people going to arise? Further and further and further apart. Listen, God owns everything. And yet allowing us to have certain items, you know, property, objects, you know, time, whatever the case might be, God knows that things that are tangible can actually end up destroying personal relationships. If you don't understand what I mean by that, just stay with me because we'll head down this particular road. There are different ways that a person can steal. And I just listed four. There are a multitude of other ways, but these are some that sort of to highlight a study of this line. For example, robbery, like Luke 10. You remember the account of the man that went from Jerusalem down to Jericho. He fell among thieves or robbers. They beat him, took what he had. So that's a form of thou shalt not steal, correct? As Jesus gives the illustration. And Malachi, in chapter 3 and verse 8, it says, will a man rob God? It says, well, wherein have we robbed you? It says, and in tithes and offerings. In other words, here's a person that doesn't give to God that which is of the giving side. And therefore, that's a form of stealing from God. What about cheating somebody or frauding somebody? In other words, I didn't break into your house or your car, or I didn't beat you over the head and take what was on your person. I just didn't give to you what we agreed to. I mentioned Leviticus chapter 19 and verse 13 here. It carried with the idea of a man that worked for this guy in a field. And at the end of the day, what is he supposed to receive? He's supposed to receive his day's wage. If a man worked for you and you contracted, you know, for a penny, as the parable would go in Matthew's account, then at the end of the day, what do you get? You get what the contract was about. What if it's like, come back tomorrow and I will pay you, or come back tomorrow or pay. You remember the old Popeye cartoon character of the guy that always, I will gladly pay you Tuesday. You know, if you'll give me the money now for a hamburger, I will gladly pay you Tuesday. By the way, did he ever pay him? Okay, so on and on and on. The idea is I'm going to continue. And by the way, that brings us to sort of the next concept here. Neglecting to respect the property that belonged to someone else. You know, that's a form of stealing. But a lot of people don't think about that. The idea, here is something that belongs to someone else, and what are you going to do with it? You know, I'm allowed to sit at your dining room table, or I'm allowed to borrow your car, or I'm allowed to do this, or I'm allowed to do that, and so what am I going to do with it? Which brings us to this last concept here. It's all, by the way, all of that is tied up in Exodus chapter 21, actually verses 5 all the way to verse 15. It says, here is a man that has an ox, or he has some animal or something, and the ox gets out of where you've penned it up, and it gets into a man's grain field. By the way, that is his groceries for the year. I mean, he can't go down to Sam's Club and go buy anything. He'd have to go to the market somewhere and buy it, or he'd grow his own. Well, what if your ox that you're supposed to keep up gets in this man's standing corn or grain, and it ate it all to the ground? Oh, sorry, you're going to forgive me, right? The Bible says you ought to restore to him double what he lost. By the way, how does that mend relationships? How does it mend fences? You remember the account in Luke 19 of Zacchaeus? You know, Jesus comes to his home. Zacchaeus says, if I have defrauded any man, you know, I'll give him fourfold. By the way, folks, that's twice what the law of Moses said he had to do. Jesus said, this day has salvation come to this man's house, for he also is a son of Abraham. What's that concept? If I have cheated anybody, if I have taken advantage of anybody, I will not do that anymore. And I will do way beyond what I'm supposed to do to restore it. Okay? Years ago, I was in a preacher's class. And this teacher was trying to impress upon us preacher students this concept of if you think you don't violate the principle of thou shalt not steal. And of course, we're like, well, you're not talking to thieves in this room. He said, go to your church library, go to your office, pull out all the books you've got in there and open up the inside cover of it and see if somebody else's name's not in those books. Surely you've borrowed a book from somebody and you haven't returned it. By the way, it's still their book, isn't it? It just happens to be in your possession. He says, now if you think people don't do that, he said, just go in your own personal library and go see if you hadn't got some other preacher's book you've borrowed and you hadn't returned it. Okay, now, I'm not picking on anybody in this room because I've already talked to Craig Ledbetter before I started preaching this sermon. I've got two things of his I've had for 4 years. And they're in my office at home right now. Actually, before the tornado hit, he said, well, it's a good thing you had it. I'd have lost that too. And I thought, well, I'm going to get that back to Craig before I preach this sermon because this is self-defeating, right? For 4 years, I've had two VHS tapes on how to play a banjo. They belong to Craig and Becky Ledbetter. They've been in my possession for 4 years. Now, anybody else in this room got something that belongs to somebody else that you hadn't returned? What if I never return it? What is that a form of? What is it a form of? It's a form of stealing, isn't it? Oh, by the way, he's a Christian. He'll forgive me. You know, it's easier to get forgiveness than it is permission just to keep it indefinitely. Surely nobody in this room has ever borrowed money from somebody else. Nobody. You don't owe anybody anything. You ever seen someone that knows they owe money to somebody and they see them in Walmart? Hey, let's get out of here. I don't need to run into them. I owe them money. Does it destroy relationships? Yeah, it does. Folks, you can destroy your own family relationships by doing that. Proverbs is filled with passages talking about being surety for a friend. Don't be a surety for a friend. Why? Because it'll destroy your relationship with your friend. Surely no one has ever borrowed anything from the church and not brought it back. Oh, I've had it at my house, or I meant to get it in. Do you and I understand the concepts of the fact how difficult it is to live a sinless life? The law of Moses was not intended to teach a man, you can do all this and do it all correctly. Folks, we violate principles of Scripture all the time. Sometimes don't even think about it. Don't even think about it. For example, I know this congregation, this church building, and you know, the building's just a building, and don't misunderstand what I'm about to say. But by the way, can anybody in this room abuse public places? What if I just all of a sudden just pulled out a pocket knife up here, and while I'm teaching, I just start carving on the pulpit because, you know, I need to do something with this hand. I had my knife available, and you say, you're destroying church property. Well, what if I just sat in the pew where you're sitting and just carved on the back of a pew? Nobody's ever carved on the back of any pews ever in their life in a church building. What about in restaurants? What about in public restrooms? You never seen any graffiti or anything in public restrooms, right? Nobody has to pay for repairing that, right? Obviously, the person that did it didn't pay for it, right? Do you know what the law of Moses and even the law of the gospel, the law of Christ, teaches? That if I deface something, guess whose responsibility it is to fix it? Whose responsibility is it to fix it? It is the individual that did the wrong. Under the law, if you took something from someone and you didn't take care of it, not only were you to restore it, you might have to add 5% or 10% up to 20% more for it. By the way, would that be a deterrent not to borrow from somebody? See, over and over and over, the law emphasized the fact you can defraud somebody, you can cheat somebody, you can end up neglecting doing what you need to for someone else and their property. I remember when our kids were growing up, you know, and of course parents are like, kids, you don't want to buy them a car, so they generally borrow yours. How many of you have ever gotten in your automobile after your child has borrowed your automobile and it had gas in it? And you get up and you're ready to go to work and you look down and what's wrong with this gas tank? Well, after all, I needed gas to burn. Yeah, you burned it. You burned it to the ground. By the way, the rubber on these back tires back here are a little bit gone too. Oh, Dad, you're making all the money in the world. What is that? I'm just taking advantage of my parents, isn't it? Did you know that principle is under the concept of respecting personal property? Respecting that. What if, you know, like I'm looking at Joseph Isom down here. I know they have the fruit stand down here. What if, you know, you put in $400 worth of gravel, you know, out there in front of the fruit stand, and all of a sudden somebody gets in there, and the next thing you know, they just decide, and it's not because they're going to pull out to try to keep from getting killed by somebody passing on saying, let's just say they decide to just spin gravel all the way back to the fruit stand. Just for the sake of, I think that's cool. I think that'll get me some attention. And so they just lay down on the accelerator and just spin gravel all the way up, and it just eats the front of the fruit stand out and just eats all the gravel out, and someone says, now wasn't that funny? And then you go back 5 years, y'all remember that day we spun gravel up at Isom's fruit stand? Man, wasn't that cool? By the way, who had to pay for fixing the damage? Well, we did. Would that be the exception to the rule, or would that... Our society don't operate in those rules, right? Listen. And I'm not throwing off on our young people, but I know of a person, not of this congregation, of another congregation, who told me one time. We had the youth of our particular congregation come over one night to our home. You know, it was Devo night of our month. And the youth came over, and they so trashed our house. You know, they were supposed to stay in this one room, and we told them where the bathroom was. But they so trashed our house. This man told me, he said, we will never, ever host another one. Listen, just remember the church's kids going to the home of a husband and wife, members of the same congregation. And the kids didn't respect the fact that they were shown hospitality by this family to a group of kids that didn't even deserve it. And they trashed place. Listen, that is in this discussion of thou shalt not steal. Y'all understand that? You are taking something from somebody that does not belong to you. Respect it. Treat it as though it is yours. Love thy neighbor as thyself. This home you're allowed to visit, treat that as it would. Oh, don't let my kids treat your house like they treat their bedroom. Surely nobody has that problem, right? If you borrow something from someone, protect it. Bring it back in better condition than you got it. How about that? If you borrowed someone's tool, a hoe or an axe or whatever, when you bring it back, what should it look like? What should a child of God make it look like? In 2 Kings chapter 6, it says that the sons of the prophets under the days of Elisha were living in a place that was too small for them. And so they told Elisha that it's too small. And so he says, well, go out into the woods, basically down in the Jordan River Valley, and cut some trees and build a bigger place. So that's what they did. One of the sons of the prophets, it says, is felling a tree. Basically, we'd say he's cutting a tree down with an axe. The head of the axe comes off the handle and falls into the water, evidently into the Jordan River. Well, what's the big deal about that? Axe heads come off of handles all the time. Here's what the big deal was. The son of the prophet turned to Elisha, and here's what he said. Alas, Master, it was borrowed. It was borrowed. Well, okay, you can't find it. It's down at the bottom of the river. You know, it'd be dangerous for you to get down in there. Maybe the water will go down. We'll find it later. Tell you what, go back and tell him, I'm sorry I lost your axe head. Here's your handle. Do you know what the law of Moses said was the obligation of the son of the prophet to do? If you borrow that, it better go back in the same condition or better condition than you found it. Otherwise, thou shalt not steal applies to the situation. So how did Elisha remedy that? Elisha took a stick, put it on the water. He says, where is the place where the axe head went in? Put it on the water. The axe head floated to the surface of the water. Read 2 Kings 6. And the son of the prophet went out and retrieved the axe head. So now that he could put it back on the shaft of the axe handle. Alas, master, it was borrowed. What do you mean by that? He knew what that meant. If I have borrowed something that belongs to somebody else, I am righteously and morally obligated by the God that I serve to return it in the same condition or better condition that I found it. Listen, that is love thy neighbor as thyself. Isn't it? Son, you've borrowed your dad's car. You borrowed your mom's car. How are you going to return it? Well, it don't have any dents in it. Here's your keys back. Well, one day, maybe your child will treat you that way and the light will come on. How do you treat it? By the way, can you steal somebody's time from them? And is time life? Let's go into some other areas here. What about your resources? By the way, is your time a resource? By the way, I'm not a doctor and I'm not a dentist and I'm not anything where you've got to make an appointment and see it. But by the way, is your time precious to you? Trust me, it is to me. And what if a person all of a sudden just shows up late and you got to wait on them? Is that stealing from your time, from what you can be doing? By the way, we call that being courteous, don't we? Being courteous. All right, now we can start because everybody's here. What is that? This is in this concept. Thou shalt not steal. How many people even think about that on a day-to-day basis? They even think about that. It doesn't even cross their mind. What about a person's respected reputation? Do you remember the account that it says of Absalom in the Old Testament? That after Absalom actually got to come back home after he did commit murder, by the way, and he got to come back home, the Bible says that he stole the hearts of the people. By doing what? What was Absalom's ultimate goal? Was to take the thrones, what Absalom's goal was. And by the way, for a little while, he got that position. What do? I'm going to defame my daddy's reputation by elevating mine. And by the people finally siding with me, I'll get rid of my daddy when the time comes. What is that? That's a form of stealing, folks. And Absalom went down that road. Young people battle this all the time, particularly junior high. Here's a person that may be popular, may be athletic, may be well-liked among their peers, and all of a sudden here's a person that wants what that person has by what's called jealousy and envy. And so the next thing you know, they do everything within their power by word or action to try to destroy the name that that person has built among their peers, just so that if I can tear them down, that'll make me feel better and make me look good. Listen, tearing somebody else down don't elevate anybody. It don't elevate anybody. all of us who've ever been in junior high school or even in high school or for that way college or anything beyond that realize there is strong, strong competition among peers, isn't there? By the way, you just get in the business world, it just takes new forms that you've had to deal with all the way back to junior high. Matter of fact, it could start in elementary school for all I know. You know, pecking orders. Listen, according to the teaching of the Bible, everybody on this planet is important to God. He made you in His image. Number two, Christ died on the cross for every person on this planet. And therefore, that's how important everybody is. Don't ever get into the idea that one is more important than the other. And therefore, in order to get what I don't have that you do have, I will do everything within my power to destroy what you have. Folks, that is a form of thou shalt not steal. There are a lot of ways you can steal. By trying to have what somebody else has that you don't have. What about just the nature of relationships? For those of you that have ever lived in a college dormitory, you know, away from home in a college dormitory, let me ask you a question. Is it competitive from a social standpoint in that dormitory? Shake or nod. Oh, buddy. I never lived in a girl's dorm, obviously, but trust me, I lived in a boy's dorm for 4 years at Freed Hardeman. I know what competition is like, particularly on Friday night. Friday night. If I can get that girl to dislike this guy that she's dating, there's my opportunity to start dating her. Let me tell you something. That happens more times than anybody wants to think. And what is that? I'm trying to take from that relationship what I want for my own. That's a form of stealing. Oh, I violate thou shalt not steal. Yeah, you are. You're going down that road. You're not doing unto others as you would have them do unto you. You're not loving your neighbor as yourself here. Instead of rejoicing that they're getting along and things are progressing, no, that's not what you want. And let me just talk to the girls for a minute. Surely one girl doesn't try to defame the reputation or the name of another girl so they can get that girl's boyfriend. Nobody does that, right? I know enough about Cabin 3 girl talk from having had a daughter go through Cabin 3. I raised a daughter. I know some of the things that go on in that concept. And guys, by the way, do the same thing. Maybe not to the same, you know, I wouldn't say level, you know, same philosophy or whatever, but the nature of it is what? I can't get what I get unless I assert myself. Assert in what way? Happens all the time. So how do you get forgiveness of all this stuff? 1 Corinthians 6, verses 9 to 11. Actually, in verse 10 it says, we'll start in verse 9. Know ye not the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Be not deceived. Fornicators, adulterers, effeminate, abusers, and say, nor thieves. First word in verse 10 is thieves. Then he uses the last word in that collection is extortioners. What is extort? Extort's a business term, right? Surely nobody's ever been in the pen or the federal penitentiary because they extorted money from a corporation through some Ponzi scheme or whatever. No one's ever done time because they've extorted money or taken advantage of the system. Folks, that's a form of stealing. Then it says, but you are washed. Such were some of you. You're washed, sanctified, justified in the name of the Lord Jesus, the Spirit of our God. Ephesians 4 and verse 28 says, let him that stole, talking to Christians now, some of you were thieves, let him that stole steal no more. Rather, let him labor with his hands that which is good. In other words, you used to earn income or whatever you got through the process of robbery and stealing or taking advantage of someone. You don't do that anymore. Now, you labor with your hands like you're supposed to. That you may have. Well, that's the whole idea of why you want to work, right? So that you can have. That's not all that verse says. Let him that stole steal no more, rather let him labor with his hand that which is good, that he may have to give to him that needs. Oh, no, wait a minute. You're asking more than I'm willing to do. Oh, I'm more than willing now to work an honest day's living so that I can keep accumulating. You mean I got to share what I'm accumulating? All right, let me ask you a question. And I don't know that anybody in here is ever, you know, is it what we call a recovering thief, okay, kleptomaniac, whatever the idea of a person who just habitually, but pathologically steals from other people in whatever shape, form, or fashion, large or small. How would you really be able to show of a person who at one time was a professional thief? How could you show that they were fully converted to the cause of Christ? Now they're holding down an honest day's job, and even what it is that they are accumulating through the grace of God, they are more than willing to share of their own resources to people who also have need. Is that not a daylight and dark difference, change in philosophy, than mine, 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 mine? What I'm about to close in this sermon, and by the way, this sermon is over. What I'm about to close in this sermon is what I learned from Daniel Clark. Now, Daniel, when he was growing up, was big into name brand stuff. Big in it. Wanted to look good. By the way, if it didn't have the name on it, it didn't make me look good. By the way, now that he's married, he got a new perspective. By the way, that'll do a lot of things to you once you get married, won't it? Now that mom and dad is not footing all the bills, and now you got to foot a lot of things change. So now he in his 30s is working with kids in their teens over at James Clements High School. He asked me one day, he says, I got to speak at Camp Nayati, and what do you think I ought to speak on? I said, well, what are you dealing with over there with the guys that you're working with? He said, one word. Here's what I'm running into with these kids over here in athletics. More than anything I'm running into, and here it is, entitlement. Entitlement. Daniel's over there working with a kid that thinks he ought to be starting in whatever sport it is that they're playing. Hey, let me tell you something. I can quit this school and start for Bob Jones. Well, we got the basketball coach of Bob Jones here. Let's see how that operates. Hey, I don't want to fool with any hard work or assert myself. Hey, I can just transfer to Bob. I'll start at Bob Jones. They're going to make me ride the bench over here. Poor, poor, pitiful you. Dan says, here I am trying to help these kids get through injuries or nagging aches and pains and so forth, and all they think about is how sorry they are for themselves and how they're due. I paid my dues. I ought to get something. He said, man, you need to grow up bickering, complaining about what they don't have. We don't have entitlement programs out of the federal government in this country, do we? We don't have people that expect things from other people out of their hard work. Hey, I'm an American. I'm due. You owe me that. Let me tell you something. Even in education, did you know education is a privilege? It's a privilege to have an education. It's a privilege to be a Christian. It's a privilege to own a Bible. It is a privilege to be called a child of God. It is a privilege to be able to pray to the God of heaven. Folks, we're not entitled to anything. If anything, everything we have and are belongs to God. So how ought I to live my life? Lord, you tell me what you want me to do. My life and what you've allowed me to be entrusted in. That's how I live my life. I'm not jealous. I'm not envious. I'm not in competition with anybody. I want to go to heaven. And I want everybody around me to go to heaven. You show me how to live. Anything you let me use it with all my might. Let me not abuse it, neglect it. Let me be a good steward and hear you say, well done, good and faithful servant. Servant, that's right, belongs to him. If you're here this morning and you're not a child of God, I'd encourage you to be one. The life just of these principles right here make your life better just to live by them. Folks, it's very, very easy as you read the scriptures to realize we come far short of his glory. We come far short in so many ways and things sometimes we don't even think about them. But when we come to a knowledge of it, what's the concept? Repent, restore, and respond accurately. If you're here today, you need to become a Christian or you need to come back to your first love. Tim and I are here to assist you. Won't you come as we stand and sing?